I just want to start with the worship was awesome, and there's just something about 450 plus men just belting out to the Lord. I was talking to Ross a little bit earlier, and I said that I had to stop singing for a second just so I could take it all in and just like hear how much love there was, and you could just feel like the Spirit was palpable in that moment. It was incredible. One of the things that truly touched me was when we were at the Planned Parenthood, and they replanted the dead trees, by the way. There's one of them's already dying. Still dead. One of the pastors was telling his testimony about the pastor from India, about how this couple went all around India to many different temples to pray for their becoming pregnant, and it wasn't happening, and they came upon a friend that told them to go to the Christian church. I'm going to kind of paraphrase this here. And they came the first day, asked for prayer at the end of the service. Pastor prayed for them, and then they continued to come. The next day, they asked for prayer again, and he said, I'm not going to pray for you today. I prayed for you last week, and I believed it then, and I know that it's true and it's going to happen. And they demanded just repeatedly, you have to pray for us. We can't leave without you praying for us. So he prayed for them again. And they continued to come, and after 3 months, they reported to the pastor and said that they were pregnant with twins. They shouldn't have asked for a second prayer. There's more to that story, but that really touched me there, so I'm going to pass this on.
Are you ready? Good morning. It was rich. The worship was really rich. So we're just so full of pride of our team. And you guys to watch what you do and the way you lead. Jason, when you smash the drums as hard as you can possibly smash the drums, that's just special. They're meant to be felt. That's just my opinion. So it was just so rich, the worship, and then being together with our Southern brothers after being separated for a couple of years. That was really good. So we need to keep sending Apostle Keith emails that we meet in the middle and make everybody come to the same place. So that was super good. I want to share from one of the teachings that we had. The teachings were rich, as always, but there was something, it seemed like there was just a more consistent theme this year, and just a lot of power in all the teachings. So I just want to share a snippet of one of the things that we were taught. In David's early years, before he was king, he took down a lion and a bear, we read. So, and he helped us to really understand what that meant, that he had a staff and a sling, and a lion once, a full-grown lion presumably, came to try to take a sheep, and he took him down with a sling and a staff and whatever else he had around. When you just sit and think about that, it's impressive. And then there's another time when a bear came on his sheep, and he did the same thing. He took the bear out. But what he brought about as the point of that is he learned those things in obscurity. There was nobody watching. He got no accolades for what he did. And he did it in obscurity. Later on, when there was a giant to be killed to liberate Israel from the oppression of the Philistines, he did it in front of everyone. And so often I think that we want our Christian service, we want to live big lives in front of everyone. And his point was, how are you doing in obscurity? So I just thought that was really rich, so I wanted to share that with you. Anyway, I got home at about 6:30 in the morning, so I'm going to pass.
Ray, great story. It was a touching thing. I'm going to add just a little bit to that. It makes a difference to what you do with the small things, and it makes you prepared to take on the things God's going to put in front of you that are going to be kingdom changing. And so don't think the small things are worthless or didn't mean anything, or the trials. Those probably weren't the funnest things he wanted to do, is take on the bear or the lion. There was probably some intimidation and fear, but men stand up to that type of thing, and they press on so that they are ready for when the real war and the real day of battle comes, and their character is built to take on those giants. And that is a word for all of us, that God wants to use what he's doing in the small things in our life to prepare us to do the great work that he wants to use us for in the future. One thing I noted with the conference as a whole, there was really a theme in regards to passing on the baton. From Pastor Rod down to Keith, and even the younger generations that are taking on churches that other older pastors have created and built and now passing the baton on. And it's happening even in our church with Pastor working on handing the baton off to Tony. It's the natural progression of things. But there was such a sweetness in Rod talking about the experience of, you know, plowing the hard ground at first with some of these men, and then being able to see the fruit of their labor. And, you know, he had a touched spirit when he talked about it, about handing the baton off to Keith and many of the other men there, and how churches have been passed off, and how rich that was of a blessing to him to see the younger generation rising up and taking the reins and doing the work that God wants us to do here on earth. And, you know, I had always a privilege of having my grandson there and engaged in learning the things of God and seeing these men that have gone before that won't be long. It'll be 10, 15 years. Pastor Rod may not be around anymore, but he got to see him and see the character and the richness. You are those next ones that are going to be the elders. I don't know what age you are, but you're always an example to someone. And to make it worthwhile, make your life count. And I am so grateful to have, like I said, had it with my daughter's boyfriend was there as well, which is a generation younger than me, and my grandson. And I just know that God is going to do that work to make sure his kingdom advances. So it was a great, great theme like that, and I was appreciative of that. Ryan, do you want to do it?
Adding on to Ray's story, the pastor had said the only reason why David went to where the Philistines and the Israelites were fighting was because his father said, go bring your brothers this cheese and bread, because that's normally what they wouldn't get you were in the army. And he goes there and he made this joke, I would rather fight a giant than a bear. At least he doesn't have claws and teeth. But it's so impacting just being there. And we were at Planned Parenthood. There was just an atmosphere. I looked up and I saw this group of birds flying right for Planned Parenthood. And as soon as they got to that property, they all flew directly around it. None of them flew over it. There was flocks of geese that flew to the side of it to get past it. And I was like, there is such an atmosphere there that if there's animals that God has created noticing that, not flying directly over it, imagine how people are going to feel when they get there. And then going back to the church and just engaging in worship with all those guys just singing at the top of their lungs. There was times you could barely hear Tony singing through all the guys because the sound from the guys was just coming through the microphones. And I talked to some of the worship team. They said, yeah, we could hear the voices of the guys coming through in our headsets. And that was so impacting. Just times where you can barely even hear yourself singing, to where you do that, and then just the sermons were amazing. How they were so impacting. And one thing that I wish Pastor Rod would have finished was there was 6 things to be a son of God, but he only got through 5 because he ran out of time. And I'm thinking, maybe God planned that so that we could figure it out ourselves. for all the men of God to figure that out. And it was just so much fun being there, seeing all these guys worshiping the Lord and loving him. And I'm so blessed I got to go this year.
It was very good. Before we went, Sarah asked me, she was like, so is there like any particular guy that you just like really hope to get to know on this trip? And I just kind of like thought about it for a second. I was like, all of them. And I was just like, it was kind of like jokingly at the time, but I kind of thought about it more afterwards. And I was like, I kind of set a goal for myself on this trip to, and I asked God, God, if I could just get into some good conversations with just like two guys, that'd be like worth it for my time and this trip and all that sort of thing. And God just exploded my mind on this trip. I had so many good conversations with so many good guys. And I don't know if a lot of you know Sarah and my story, but we've came to this church just this past year, and it was about it was around the beginning of the year that we kind of made a resolution. We've both been churched in our lives, and we had gone through a little dry period spiritually and church connectedly, where we just were not going to church, and it really was starting to take a toll on just our feelings of just being connected to the body. And in 2000, around the beginning of this past year, we just made a resolution. This is the year that we're going to just get connected to a church. That's all we want. We just want to get connected to a church. And we didn't really realize that it was going to be a month later and that we found the church. But we actually weren't even supposed to come to this church. It was, we're from Medford, and we were looking for churches around, and we happened to we had looked at Owatonna for a couple years and didn't really find anything that stuck with us. And so then we were like, let's just set our sights to Faribault, just north of us. And we found the River Life, or whatever the other river church is here in Faribault.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It matters, but that's the one.
The New River
Church. And that's the one we intended to go to that Sunday morning when we got into the car and we were just going to go try it out. And we pulled up, you know, I asked Sarah, I was like, okay, so where are we going? Where is this place? And she searched for the River Church, and it came up to this one. And we came in the doors. We were expecting it to be more like a satellite church, where what we had read online, and Pastor Steve gets up and starts giving the message. And I would go to Sarah, I was like, I thought that this church didn't have a physical pastor. And we get through the end of the service, and we're like, I don't think this is the church we intended to come to. But Pastor Steve came up to us afterwards, and just, we had a conversation, and we went away that morning being like, I think we want to go back there. And over the next couple months, we came back, and every time we came back and we got into a conversation with someone new, and we just felt loved here. And it's been impactful. It's been a very impactful year for us in our lives as Christians and as people who are just connected to a body of other believers. And so on this trip, getting to know just the guys that I drove down with and getting into conversations with other guys, that was so rich for me. And this, just right there, this trip was worth it. But beyond that, the teaching and being at this conference was just also a rich experience. And like these guys said, seeing this is such a really, what I'm realizing is this network is such a network of some very strong, spirit-filled men. And it's just incredible. It's a credible thing to be a part of. Teaching-wise, just a couple things that stick in my mind. One word is manhood. Manhood is being claimed by the devil in our society today. And the teaching that was on the first night about God, what it means to be a man, men of God are not perfect. Men of God are on purpose. And we reject passivity. You know, the teaching was brought us all the way back to the garden where Adam and Eve were in the garden. And when Eve was being tempted by the devil, Adam was right there with her. And he was passive. He did not step in between Eve and the serpent. And he also was not responsible. He didn't take responsibility. He rejected responsibility. He didn't, when God asked him about the whole situation, he said that he blamed both Eve and he blamed both God. And so just the whole teaching on men of God are men who reject passivity and who accept responsibility and who lead courageously were things that that really stuck with me and I'll take and just ponder on over the next coming months. And then the other thing is just urgency that I think of when I think of all the teaching is the urgency of the kingdom of God. It's here, and the spiritual realm is really real, and it's very easy for us, especially in our time, to get to just block that out of our whole reality. But it's here, and it's real, and there's a battle, and we were called to take our battle stations and to stand, and that's what we will do.
It was so rich getting to know Ben and Rob, a couple of the new guys. They really stand up guys, and I'm glad they're here. You know, you can go to this thing and expect a couple of different things. You can go expecting a great big breakthrough, or you can just go and see what God has for you. I've done both. This year, it's like I don't ever get a break to just sit and relax. So it's like I'm just going to go and see what God has. And every year, you think it can't get any better than this. And every single year, it's like this group of guys, you feel so fortunate, blessed, and glad to be a part of the way it's supposed to be done. This NRP leadership, all they want to do is win the world for Christ, and they're doing it. They're putting their money, their resources, their time, their lives, their families into it. They really focused on missions and the youth this year. A little thing when Keith Tusey first started his church in Pennsylvania and he was ready to transition out, Rick Paladin was kind of in line to do that, and he was much, much younger, and the elders, they didn't want it. They said, he's too young, and Keith stood up and he said, he's more mature than I am. He's probably got more Bible in him than I do. He might not do it how you're used to it, but he might do it better. And that church is still thriving. So it's so neat to see that these young kids, that the generation behind ours, they're really on fire for it, and they're doing it the right way. A couple different of the, they had a, what's your favorite Bob quote, texted to this number, right? You can't write fast enough in these sessions. It's like everything you hear, you want to remember. One Keith says was, you'll never have a mission until you have submission. Never trust a pastor who doesn't have or doesn't walk without a limp. That does walk with a limp. All a disciple wants to do is stand at the gates of hell and direct traffic. That was one of the ones that hit me the hardest. Yeah, that's what I said. Stand at the gates of hell and redirect traffic.
Not direct traffic yet.
Single file, single pass.
Yeah, like all these guys have been saying, it does get better every year. And it's great to see all the guys from the South every year. They're a riot. So what really got me this year, it wasn't a specific teaching. There was one thing I wanted to bring and read, but I forgot it at home. But just the overwhelming example, just over and over again, of each of each person in leadership that was there, that was either had a main session or, well, just the leadership in general, they were just totally sold out for the gospel, totally sold out for Christ. And just taking kind of like a healthy comparison, like a heart check, like, okay, am I totally sold out in this area? Am I totally sold out here? How about here? Like, what do I do with my time? How do I manage it? Like, it was just really good to see that. And just the camaraderie and guys that aren't afraid to, you know, come up and be like, hey, man, you're having a rough time. Help, like, I'm going to carry you. Like, I'm going to help you. But just the camaraderie of all that was just really good this year, especially this year. But, yeah.
Hey, everybody. I'm Paul Freilich. I don't have a lot of stuff. I just want to set down. So I didn't really know what I was going for when I went this year either. I'm feeling just very tired and confused in my spirituality because I'm working two jobs and I'm doing school and I've got a wife with twins who's pregnant at home. And so we're just very busy. In case you didn't know. So we're busy, but I love the Lord and I've been saved and actively pursuing him for 10 years now. And in this season, I'm constantly around unsaved people in my heart. I've got a burden for them, and whether it's at work or school, and I'm around other Christians who, at those places, who don't have the same convictions to stand for light and to be pure in what they say and do. So it's just hard. So try not to cry here too much, but we live in a very dark time, and these guys are all conservative tradesmen, and they're talking about like politics and this is wrong and this and this is wrong, and I just get so sad because these things are wrong that's going on in the nation, but they don't have the solution, and a lot of the times I don't have it either, and I just kind of stay silent in those conversations because I don't know what all to do about the stuff that's going on, but I have a burden for it. So just to have it, they're not, our church network and our church doesn't hide and say things are good, it's business as usual. This is a war. It's the war for America's soul. We're in a fight, the enemy's raging, but we're victorious. So just to have it clearly said once again, you are called to fight. You're a warrior. You know, if a life lived unto itself is a wasted life, is one of the things they said. So one thing that just really hit me for what I can do in my life and with what I have is just to really dig into my family, actively trying to lead those two twin boys to be godly men and shepherd my wife and just have my home right and in order. And the main thing that I got for how to do that, out of all the, like the guy said, there's so many things that you just want to grab onto and remember, was in Luke 10, that's where I'm going to try not to cry. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So I just want to, I've been pressing into the Lord, but I just want to do it now, knowing that that's all that's needed, is pressing in, that intimacy with him. That's what's needed. That's what's important. And one of the guys, Pastor Troy, who we all just got a kick out of, he's so constant and full of joy and awesome every year, so it's good to see him. He said that our intimacy with Jesus is like the alternator to our car. And I didn't know what an alternator was until a couple years ago because I've had a couple of them go out since that time. And so I understand that you can get the battery going and you can drive your vehicle and you're going to make it about 10 miles before the battery dies. The alternator is what keeps your battery going so that you're not running off your battery. So intimacy with Christ is what keeps our battery going, because otherwise it's the flash in the pan. Otherwise you're going to make it a little ways and then you will die and you will fade away from Christ and from the church and your purpose if you don't have personal intimacy with Christ. So just knowing that that's enough, and then to engage in the war, I've got a huge burden for the unborn, and I've not been doing a lot with it. And just having that passion reignited when we're there. We're talking about everything with the NRP is so father-based, father's heart. And these babies are getting marched into that place, and there's no father there to stop them. So I just want to be there. And of course, I want to put out the call for all of us to be there and commend the Ellisons for what they're doing and taking leading that up in this church. So just pass this along. Thanks, guys.
Awesome. Thanks, Paul. I'm glad you brought that up about Pastor Troy. He had another analogy about being a bottle rocket Christian. That was like, makes sense, you know, done. And you don't want to be a bottle rocket Christian. And then he had the analogy of the alternator saying, you can go to a conference like this and you can get jumper cables. And you can go for a little bit, but if you don't have the alternator, you're done. And it's like, right, praying for all of us like that it wouldn't just be like jumper cables that we'd like make it last. So that's what I pray every year. But I just had one thing to share. The Holy Spirit gave me he brought a lot of things to my attention that I didn't think needed attention, but I guess that's the point. But one thing that did stick out is like Shane was saying, you can't write notes fast enough. Like, I'm trying to keep it on one page, and my handwriting's terrible already, but my notes are a mess because it's just trying to get everything down. But one of the breakout sessions, Pastor Danny Knight from probably Louisiana? I don't know. I'm just guessing they're all from Louisiana. But he had a breakout session called Position of Praise. And it's one of those things where you read a story in the Bible over and over, but you don't, sometimes you just take it for what it is and you don't really dig any deeper. But he brought to my attention the story in Exodus where Joseph was battling the Amalekites and Moses was on the hill far away. And God directed Moses to keep his hands lifted, and as long as his hands were lifted, that Joshua would prevail, and the Israelites would prevail against the Amalekites. But then as time went on, Moses' hands would get tired, and they would start to fall, and then the Amalekites would prevail. And a little bit later in the story, we read that they come up, and they find a rock for Moses to sit on, and they're on each of his sides holding his hands up so that the Amalekites are defeated. And it's important thing to be there for your brothers, obviously, to hold our hands up when we can't anymore. That's very, very important. But the thing I took away from this is when you break it down, and I already knew this, but it just didn't like hit me. The Holy Spirit just gave it to me. But Moses means like the drawn out one. And Joshua was the Hebrew for the Greek version of Jesus or Yeshua, which means the Lord saves. And if you put two and two together, that what Pastor Daniel Knight said was, when the drawn out ones praise, the Lord prevails. So when the people that are called by God, when men of God position themselves in praise, then God prevails. It's not me winning the victory. It's not me stepping over all these obstacles in my life. It's the Lord that already won the victory for us. And I wrote down one of his quotes, is an attitude of praise positions us to participate in the victory obtained by Jesus at the cross. Like, he already won the victory, and being in a position of praise is active, it's not passive. Like, we need to do it, and it's not so much as inward, but outward in our lives and every single season that we do. And that hit me hard with a lot of things that I struggle with personally, with addiction and, you know, pride and selfishness and certain things like that, where I'm constantly trying to, like, you know, I have my shield up and I'm getting hit and I'm trying to push it against it, but I don't need to push it. I just need to give up control of me trying to do anything anymore because it doesn't work, clearly. But, like, when you realize that, you know, you say and you read and you hear from pastors all the time that Jesus already paid for your sins, he already won the victory, and you're like, yeah, okay, cool. Amen, let's go home. Like, I know that already. But when you really think about it and you get it in your spirit and you get it in your heart, you realize that the struggles and the battles, whatever you're going through, Jesus already has the victory over it. You just need to claim it. And I was like, yes, that is what I need to hear. I need to stand in, that was the big theme of the conference was, I will stand and I will stay. So we need to stand in the victory that Jesus already gave you. It's not about you trying to win it. Jesus already won it, and you just need to have faith and believe and stick with it that he is the one that's going to bring you through these struggles. He's the one that's going to, he's already won the battle for you. You just need to position yourself in that attitude of praise to participate in the victory that Jesus already won for you. That was the big thing that the Holy Spirit gave to me during this conference, and I hope it encourages you as well.
So I just want to start off with, if you see any of those guys headbutting each other, it's okay. It's part of the process. So a couple months ago, I was hanging out with Pastor Steve, and I asked him, I said, hey, I want to run something by you here. I've got this motorcycle thing going on Sunday. Is it okay if I miss church? I'm like, hey, I've been at church every Sunday for over a year. I do this and that. And, you know, I got the expected answer from Pastor Steve. He put his hand on my shoulder and, yeah, it's okay. You know, just be like, you know, all those sporting events for your kids that happen every Sunday morning, and go ahead, skip church. It's a great idea. Go have fun doing what you're doing. I'm sure it's really important. Needless to say, I was here that Sunday morning. I made the right choice that weekend. So at one of the main sessions at Band of Brothers, pastor talked about how unreasonable our pastors must be to ask all of the men in the church to take time off work, take time away from their families, drive 9, 10, 12 hours to Indiana, not only do that, but pay for it yourselves. And I thought that was a very powerful thing. To me, it was awesome. It's something I'd looked forward to for a really long time, and I think that all of us share that same feeling. You know, it's great, but it really can be an unreasonable request when you look at time missed from work and financial issues and, you know, new babies at home, stuff like that. But is it worth it? Absolutely. And I just pray that every person in this church has somebody that is unreasonable, that will ask unreasonable things from them, get them out of their comfort zone, get you out of your comfort zone, because it absolutely is worth it.
So, I think Ray mentioned that this conference seemed to be much more focused in its message and kind of theme, kind of for me, across all of the workshops and the main sessions. They really focused on like one of three parts of battle station, and where has God put you as a man, and what is your purpose, and then how do you stand up and do that and stay there. I mean, from all the sessions, they all kind of attacked that main theme from different components. And for me, Kim and I we're really planners, right? And so we're always thinking kind of into the future, like what does God have for us? And what's the next opportunity? And where within this system could we improve what we're doing in our life, our family, and God? And then we reflect, a lot of the reflection was on what's the thing you're supposed to do now, right? Where has God put you now? To train, to build your trustworthiness, to build your faithfulness, to demonstrate that you are a man of God and you won't leave your station for something else that comes and draws your attention, either from the world or something you think is godly, but it's not what God's put in front of you. And so, for me, it's just a reflection on, you know, where has God put me as a father, as a husband, supporting and serving in the church? What has he given me now? And how can I just dig in, stand up in that station, and maintain it? And Ray talked about also David and just doing his station was a shepherd. And it was not, there's no accolades attached to that, but he knew that was his station. And he also knew God, right? And so he did what he did well, knowing God in his station, and that trained him up to take down Goliath. And so just for me, that was one of the reflections, that just do what you're doing well, doing now well, and beyond expectations. Dig deep and stay there. You're not going to get accolades, but you're not doing it for that. You're doing it for God. Yeah. And then the other piece was, how do you know what the heck battle station you're supposed to be at? Right? Like, there's so much in the world and so much going on in church. Like, how do you know what your role is? Right? And so they talked about knowing God created you with a purpose and a station in mind, right? And your goal is to know God, die to your body, and follow your purpose. And so just thinking about, and then I can't remember, was it Pastor Franco who said, maybe it was Chad Cochran, who said, whatever makes you feel injustice in relationship to God and the world, and find your why, and that will direct you to your station. So whatever's God put in your heart, as you know God, as you walk with God, and then you look at the world, just as David looked at Goliath mocking God, and he said, this is an injustice, and I will not stand for it. I'm going to stand up and take it down. What is it in the world is making you feel righteousness boil up and injustice in relationship to God's will? And then find out your skills and your talents in addressing that injustice. Yeah, and then just last, like, so when we went to Planned Parenthood, I went to the conference looking for some healing. Kim and I had a really good friend, Michelle, who died to suicide, and we just 2 weeks ago, and she had had an abortion and was really depressed, and we were really the only ones who she reached out to. Like, her family had kind of cut off all ties. And so when I was standing at, we were standing at that abortion clinic, and we were praying, like, I was listening and thinking about my why and Michelle's life. And I was thinking about, wow, here's my injustice, right? Like, women's lives are destroyed in addition to innocent babies. So where has God positioned me and Kim in our lives to stand up to that injustice? Right? And that's something that we have a testimony now, and Michelle's life is that testimony. So there was healing that happened for me at the conference, and a why, and understanding about where my battle stations are, and how we can stand in them.
That was a good share, Ryan. I was doing a really good job of being composed up until then. You know, and I was thinking about all the things that I have to say, because this, I made the mistake of saying about this conference that I'm not going to gain anything out of it. And, you know, I had Tony send me a message and say, hey, have you thought about going to Band of Brothers? And I said, no, not really, because Katie and I are in such financial hardship that I figured I won't be able to justify that sacrifice. And so then after, I went home and I talked to my wife, and she said, yeah, you're going, right? Like, you're going to go? And that was, you know, permission to spend that money and to do that. And then immediately after that was when I felt that that push that I'm not going to gain anything. Like, I'm going to go, and it's going to be even worse because I won't learn from it. So conversations in the car on the way there already taught me quite a bit about connection to other brothers in the house, and some connections that I had that I didn't even realize that there are other Arizonans in my midst, you know, that Ben has spent some time living, you know, miles away from where I grew up, and we were there at the same time, and so now to be here in Minnesota at the same church is just, God is great, and that, to be put in that same car, too, just to have that opportunity to talk to him about, you know, hey, Arizona, and what that was like growing up, and somebody who shares it. And then we got there, and the first night of worship, I was, you know, bombarded by images of everything that God wanted to teach me on the trip. And, like, I told Tony later, just out of thankfulness, that, I mean, our worship team is awesome, and, like, they have such spirit-led worship, such leadership, like, that they put out from right up here for us every single Sunday. That's a gift in and of itself that'll make me come back here for years and years just to be a part of that. And I guess the big thing for me about connection was that I realized about 2.5 years ago I made a decision to disconnect myself from other men of God and not, like, to shoulder my burdens alone. Bad idea. You know, I've had tons of guys in here pray for me about pain related to my dad and what that was like. That connects me to so many issues in our modern church that it's like my dad demanded of my mother that she abort me before I was even here. And she refused because of her faith. And so it's that connection already gives me a theater to fight in. And then my dad died when I was young. And I've told other brothers about that. It's like he left me all over again. And I felt that that door was closed for a really long time. And 2.5 years ago, my dad's only other son, directly related to me by blood, could not handle the grief of our dad's decision. And a month after his 18th birthday, he hanged himself. And everything came flooding back. I felt like I could have been there for him, you know, that I could have shared Jesus with him, but that door was always shut. And so I felt like, all right, if those doors are going to remain shut, then I will shut my own and not get into that pain anymore. And I've lost a lot of people, a lot of death. And this conference, God said it's okay to put all of that back, to not fear the future and the relationships you can build. Because I thought that God was setting me up to teach people about grief and how to handle grief. And I was afraid that he would give me even more grief so that I could teach more people about how you deal with grief. And so I intentionally chose the wrong path. Shut it all down so that he wouldn't give me any more. And night one of this conference, they broke that. And I remember connecting, immediately after that, connecting to so many guys and realizing that my family's not gone, I have it here. Larger than any family I've ever had before. And I remember telling Ben, we connected in the drive quite a bit, and he was telling me that he'd not been in front of a Planned Parenthood clinic before to protest. And I remember saying, like, I've been to a few of them, and only one time has there been confrontation, and it was in Pittsburgh when there was this really small circle of space. And the confrontation came from, you know, you can't step into that circle, but we would get right up on the edge people would get, Keith Tusey would walk right up next to that edge. And so Saturday morning when we were going to go to the Planned Parenthood clinic, I said, you know, I'm going to find that boundary, and I'm going to walk up to that edge and just prove that I can stand on the edge and push them like that. And I was standing right on, to me, the old boundary was the edge of the grass. There's this grassy hill out in front. And to me, that was the boundary. So I stood on that boundary right there, you know, my toes basically touching the parking lot. And one of the Planned Parenthood ladies showed up immediately once they opened and immediately started with aggressive action. And she just came out to us and she said, you gotta stand back. You gotta be farther back. The line is actually up, halfway up on the hill. You gotta be behind those signs. You can't be up here. And then immediately after that, she followed it by saying, and your preacher over there has gotta turn his sound equipment off, because there's a noise ordinance and we will call the police. And I remember looking at her and thinking, oh, how sad it is that those are the things that you start your day with. But then we complied. All of us men, we complied. We were everyone standing in front, even though I felt like I was supposed to stand on that line, I complied and I walked back to right behind that sign. And she still called the police. Like we were just going to be these, you know, ruffians that would not listen. We were going to challenge them, you know, every step of the way. And it's like, I know that most of the guys here are getting behind the line. We're listening to what you're saying, even though we don't agree with you. And then I started to think about those rules that she had. I realized that they're targeting it so that we can't talk to them, to the women that enter that clinic. We can't even talk to them because we have to stand farther back than we used to have to stand. And to turn down our sound equipment because of the noise ordinance would have meant that we can't even raise our voices to call out to women that park on the far side of the parking lot. And they tell those women to stay in their cars when they arrive because the clinic's not open yet and they need to be able to get inside of 30 seconds. Because otherwise we'll get to them. And I was just thinking, I want to be that person that makes those women that uncomfortable, those women running this service, I want to make them that uncomfortable every time. Every time there's an opportunity. And I just have been walking in that boldness and that confidence since that part of this conference, and I just, like, thinking I can't get anything out of the conference, my entire life is sealed, my past is sealed, and I can go forward walking out the new confidence. And that was just a weekend. It's now I gotta do something with that. So keep me accountable, River family, that I will stand in that gap. I will be there to stand for the unborn and to stand, you know, in a position that irritates the devil.
I will stand. I've been wrestling with some things in my personal life about where I am and what I'm supposed to do, and the conference reaffirmed I am where I'm supposed to be. And so the I will stand, I've never questioned that. But the second night, I will stay. I was questioning that. And so it reaffirmed that I'm where I'm supposed to be. This church, my life, the family, work, I will stay. And one of the things that I heard that one of the sessions, I don't remember who said it, but a pastor was sharing that somebody came to him and wanted to start a homeless ministry. You know, and he was thinking about band and a place to hold it and all this grandiose stuff. He says, what do you think, Pastor? And the pastor turned to him and said, take a glass of water and a hot meal and, you know, insulate it and go out to a walk in the street and find a homeless person and hand it to him and pray for him. And the guy said, okay, and then what? Get a glass of water and a hot meal. And the point that I took away from it is, we've got young people that we want to encourage into leadership in the ministry, but we don't have to start big. Look at how this, look at the history of this church. It was one small step. And whatever ministry we want to be in, it's one small step. And so we may not be the Steve and Joan or Tony and Meg, but as members of the body of Christ, sometimes we can, as one small step, say more for Christ than our paid pastors.
You know, it opened my eyes a lot and see what Lord wants me to do. Being standing up here, listening to everything, fresh in my memory, I was called to go to see what I was meant to be doing. And standing up here, this is where my church is for me. And it opened my eyes. This whole week, I've listened to all the different prayer and talking. I'm glad I went, because I've learned a lot about churches and that people who wants people to stand up for the rightness. Thank you.
Well, I wasn't even supposed to go to the conference. I had a big deadline thing for Friday, and there's no way that I was going to make it, and I'd already told Tony probably by Tuesday that, you know, just count me out. I can't make it. Wednesday about 11 o'clock, I got called into the office. I literally thought I was going to get canned. And she says, you know, this, we understand what's going on. We think you need to go. And I just couldn't believe it. And I, in hindsight, I can't imagine not having been there. And so I was... So I called Ivy, and she says, well, I've been praying. So, and when I told Tony, his response made me feel like the conference would not be the same had I not been there. So anyway, I think the whole thing for me started a couple months ago. I have an affection and a respect for Brother Rod. I mean, God speaks through him to me. And he was here in the service a couple weeks or months ago, and he walks up to me, just gave me a hug, and I whispered in his ear, I says, we need revival, and he whispered back, he said, I think God's going to do it. So anyway, he opened the conference with something that just shook me right to the bone. I already knew it, but somehow when he says it, he says, we're in a battle between light and darkness, and it's winner take all. And what he meant, he kind of explained what he meant by winner takes all, is that our faith, what we believe and what we want for our children and everything is at stake in this light and dark battle. And kind of related to what Kevin was saying about the light has come into the world, and it was explained that the light has always been as light as it can be for those people that can see it. But as the darkness gets darker, the light gets brighter without changing, and that's what's happening in this battle. And something was going through my mind and spirit. I mean, we have struggles like you guys trying to figure out what's the priority and you know, how do you, whatever. And it was all these other things that was going through my mind, all these other things. And I kind of got the revelation of the rest of the scripture as I was standing here. God wants us to seek his kingdom. This light and dark battle, he can do it, but will not do it alone. He needs the body of Christ, the remnant of people who are willing to be engaged in this battle fearlessly. And the weapons that he's given us, the praise and worship, and are so overwhelming against the enemy that, I mean, he doesn't have a chance, but he needs us to believe and stand with him. So the culmination of what I got, and hopefully this, you know, will minister to everybody, is seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these other things, all of these addictions, all of these sins that we have in our lives, all those other things, he'll take care of those if we focus on his plan and get engaged in the battle. So
amen. Well, I just want to point out and thank the worship team. Jeff and these guys up here, Paul, Jason, Ryan, you guys poured out your hearts. You poured out your lives. You spread yourselves thin. You showed up to practices when all of our wives were upset that we had to show up to practice. Can we just thank the worship team? Thank you. And Gabriel and Tim and the whole rest of the worship team, I know the ladies, you couldn't have gone to Bob, but Jay, you were with us, but I mean, we missed you guys. You were with us in spirit, but it was an honor to lead the charge in worship. It's... and just come alive. I mean, when the Holy Spirit comes into a place and you have hundreds of men with one voice, with one heart, crying out to the King of Kings, it's like heaven. I mean, that's what we're going to see in heaven. We're going to see thousands and thousands upon 10,000s of just saints, not to mention the angels, that are going to cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is our Lord." That's what we're looking forward to. But just something that really stood out to me quickly, just to encourage you all. December 7th, 1941. Do you know that day? Pearl Harbor. December 7th, 1941. The Japanese attacked over 300 planes. Attacked Pearl Harbor. It was 5 something in the morning. On a Sunday, because they thought no one would be around, because they thought no one would be at their post. And it's a cheap shot, because it's Sunday, and it's morning. But there was Pastor Keith brought up a story of a man named Doris Miller, African-American man, and at that time, because of the prejudice, he was basically allowed to do the laundry and to serve the food. But when the Japanese planes and bombs started falling, he ran to the top, and he found his captain who was injured, and he first tried to get his captain off the boat, and the captain said, "Leave me, just bring me over here. I'm not getting off the boat." And Doris Miller ran to a machine gun and fired until he ran out of ammunition. And what Pastor Keith was saying, your function, what you might be doing now, is not necessarily your purpose. You were made to serve God. You were made to honor God. You were made to lay your life down and punch the enemy in the face. Amen. As we advance the kingdom of God, as we lay our lives down for Jesus, we're making a difference. And just because you're doing something, and maybe it's even unfair, Maybe it's an even unfair thing, your situation right now. Maybe your function is somewhat based in prejudice. But wherever you are, God can use you as we man our battle stations for his kingdom and his glory. And that's men, women, children, we all have a place God's calling us. And just because our function doesn't look exactly like our purpose doesn't change our purpose, and that's to give him glory. So when the time comes, run to your battle station, run to where God is calling you to go, and don't let go of that gun, so to speak, until it's out of ammo. Amen? There's a message a previous year, Pastor Rick Paladin took up a bullet casing from the stage because we decorate with some manly things, you know. And he took up a bullet casing. And it wasn't a bullet, it was a bullet casing. And he said, you know what, I want to be like this, spent. You know? And we can be like that for Jesus. We can spend our lives. We can either still be in there and be unused, or we can be spent for his glory. Amen?
I so appreciate the Holy Spirit and mostly my job. You know, the difference between a partial moon and a full moon is the full moon is right in the way of the sunlight. It's getting fully in the way of the sunlight. And my job as a pastor is to get you all in the way to where the Lord is reflecting the brightest on you. And I just appreciate the things that the Holy Spirit is able to do in trips like this that are just the combination of traveling, rooming, you know, meals, and the sessions. I mean, there's so many things and so many opportunities that the Lord builds his church. And I just love that you guys took the time off work and spent yourselves to go and serve and be and soak it in. So I know that, let's stand up and just close in prayer. The kids need to go get kids. So we are going to have small groups starting Tuesday night. We just want to continue to pour in, because God is working through his body. We are his plan A. He is going to change the world and rescue the world through his sons and daughters. And it's not because of any great things we've done or any great abilities or wisdom that we have, but it's only because of his Spirit in us working through us and calling imperfect people to represent him and go reach some. And we want to be faithful to do that. So, Lord, we just thank you that you have called us, chosen us. Lord, chosen these families to make a difference, to take our battle stations, to stand and stay and know that it's simple little steps that you use, built one upon the other, upon the other, upon the other, that get things done and get great things done. Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your Spirit. God, thank you that you call us to be real men. Not just what the culture defines as manhood, but real men as your word defines. So Lord, help us to grow in that. Grow in confidence. Grow in health. Lord, grow in effectiveness. Lord, all by your Spirit, to make us what you wanted us to be. Lord, bless these families. Help us to multiply what you're doing on the earth, that we would be found faithful to be at our posts, punching the devil in the face. That's what we want to devote our lives to, giving you glory and making the enemy's life miserable. We just thank you, Lord, for all these things. Just pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.